in Luke 2. This, of course, centered around the events of Jesus Christ's birth. That's the time of year, you know. I mean, Christmas is about the birth of Christ. It's about the coming of the Messiah. That's what it's about. That's why, you know, we do the traditions that we do, the beautiful trees, the gifts. We want to celebrate not just family, not just love, not just peace, but the coming of the Prince of Peace, the man, Christ Jesus, who declared what loving God is really supposed to look like, what keeping God first in your life really is, what trusting God and looking to God for everything in your life, for every detail of your life, is really all about. We celebrate the life of Christ, the Messiah, and what He did for each and every one of us who believe. It declares in verse 8 of chapter 2, "And there were in the same country this time of Christ's birth, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid." They didn't know what to think. Like most of us, if we were out in a field at night, and all of a sudden an angel shows up with the glory of God, you know, behind him, and the whole, you know, place lights up. And I imagine it was kind of like switching, you know, the lights on at, you know, Turner Field or wherever, whatever it is, you know, at night, in the middle of the night, and all of a sudden, flash, boom, the lights go on. You know, this was something that definitely got their attention, but they were afraid at first because they didn't understand what was going on. The angel said unto them, what? Fear not. Fear not. And you know, whenever you see those two little words, fear not, it's usually on the onset of something great. Something incredible is about to come your way from the Father of lights, from the God of all creation. God is about to do something magnificent. And what the adversary wants to do is make you afraid so that it prohibits you from receiving it. And so right away, don't you dare be afraid. Because God has something to tell you. God has something for you. God has something that He wants you to be prepared to receive. So just don't be afraid. And an angel said unto them, "For behold," don't be afraid, "for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." Good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." This is good news. But nothing's happened yet. It's just an infant. But what does God like to do? He likes to do, just as Patty mentioned before, call those things which are not as though they are. This was an infant, unable to comprehend anything except, I'm hungry, and I got a spoiled bottom right now. It's the only two things that an infant understands. I'm uncomfortable. I'm hungry. And yet, this is glad tidings of great joy. Because the Messiah is born. The Messiah has been born. Has He accomplished anything yet? No. But He will. "This shall be a sign to you," verse 12, "you shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And you know, you look at different versions of that particular verse, and the Amplified says, "Peace among men," with whom he is well pleased. Men of goodwill, of his favor. That's how the Amplified Version reads. Okay, here's another one. This says, peace to men of goodwill. Here's a better one. This is the New American Bible. It says, peace to all those on whom his favor rests. I think that's really accurately what those angels declared. Because it has nothing to do with whether you're a man or a woman of goodwill, good intention. It has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with what your life will be if you accept God's grace. And again, nothing has happened yet. Only his birth. But that did not bring salvation. The coming of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, it's just beginning to unfold with his coming, with his birth. He had to grow up. He had to be circumcised. He had to behave, obey his parents in the Lord. He had to honor his father and his mother. He had to get past those thoughts of stealing or coveting what his neighbor may have as he was growing up. He had to get past those things. He had to face life in favor of God's will and not his own. And yet, in anticipation of what he would accomplish if he chooses to obey God and fulfill his will for his life, there's cause for great joy. There's cause for people to understand that they can live it in peace with God, the Creator, because if you receive his grace, which is coming through his Messiah, right? Grace and truth came with Jesus Christ. Nothing's occurred yet. They're declaring what it can be. Because this is God's design. This is God's plan. If you look at John chapter, well, we can look through, there's so many things in John, but if you look at John chapter 10, Jesus Christ, when he came, he had to grow up. He had to do the things that God's law in the Old Testament instructed for him to do, and he did it. That's why he could say in chapter 10 of verse 10, the thief comes not but for to kill, to steal, and to destroy. I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. That's what I've come for. Those shepherds in the field could now anticipate and look forward to that. It hadn't happened yet, but the angels were still saying, don't be afraid. Everything that God has designed is about ready to come to you. Everything that God has planned, just be patient and anticipate it. Expect it. Jesus Christ said, I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. That's why he came. Has it been fulfilled in our lives yet or in your life? Is there something that you still need that you would anticipate making your life more than abundant? It's a promise to you. So don't be afraid. Fear not. Because the promises of God, everything that he has said will come to pass, will come to pass. So expect it. Begin to anticipate it. You know, it's interesting, you know, when Christ was born, that the angels came and announced his birth not to the priests and the Levites in the temple who were supposedly responsible for the things of God, to keep people's hearts focused on the things of God and the things that God has promised to them and the things that they needed to do in order to receive those promises. Didn't come to them and declare his birth. He came to simple shepherds because they were the ones that would receive it. And they did. They immediately sought him out. And then after they had seen him in the manger, right, with his mother, they went and they declared it everywhere. It says they declared it everywhere. The things that they had heard from the angels and the things that they had seen. And you know what? You know what the response was? People wondered, what the heck are these guys talking about? Who are they? That they should be speaking of the things of God and the things of the Messiah. Who are they? They're shepherds. What do they know? See, it doesn't matter where the Word of God comes from. What matters is how it's received. If it's received with faith to battle, to put down that fear, then great blessing. Those guys were blessed. Can you imagine their attitudes from that day forward as they went out in the field with their sheep and they just did what they needed to do? Thinking all the time, wasn't that a great night? Wasn't that awesome? Angels speaking to us. And then we sought it out and we saw it with our own eyes. We saw that babe. We saw that Christ. What an awesome time. And yet, what an awesome thing is coming. Their faith was established because of one act of God. And you think, well, yeah, you know, if angels came and talked to me, I guess I'd believe. Well, the point is that they have. They have, and you know it. Maybe not with such theater, but they have. Every time we manifest the Spirit, we speak in tongues and interpret. What are those voices that we're hearing? They're the tongue of men or of angels. It's the power of God, just as real as it was that night in that field. The power of God manifest. It's an anticipating what God has promised that brings us these great things. These shepherds were ready. Simeon, when they brought him, they brought the babe to be circumcised. They brought him to the temple to do the law. And Simeon, ha! Now my life is fulfilled. I've seen the salvation of Israel. There's no salvation in a baby. There is none. He had yet so much to fulfill. And yet to Simeon, it was already done. Every time we look at the truth of God's Word, what do we think? Well, maybe one day I'll see that. No, we need to consider it as already done. It's already done. That's where the joy comes. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Not someday in the future. Now we are the sons of God. Enjoy being a son or daughter of God. Expect for God to treat you like His son or His daughter. It's already done in Christ. Now we have great things to expect and anticipate. Whether they have come to pass or whether they haven't, it's our faith that substantiates these things. You think those angels had any doubt that this was going to transpire? Okay, God, I don't know if we should really declare that. I mean, gee, He hasn't done anything yet. All He's done is breathed and cried. No. They spoke as if it was already done. Already done. You know, what do we have in Christ? It's already done. We have our righteousness. We have our sanctification. We have our redemption. Redemption. You know, all sin has been taken away. It's been taken away in Christ. You know, so what did we do wrong yesterday? I'd be hard-pressed to be able to write it all down. It might take me a while. That's just for one day. And yet, it says in the Word of God, that the great joy, the reason there is great joy and great glory to God is because this Christ made Himself the Lamb of God and took sin away. Took it away. All the things in the Old Testament that pointed to that could only cover for a moment. Cover Every year, the priest would have to come and make sacrifice for sin on the Day of Atonement. At once a year. And for that year, then, it was covered. It's only covered. It's hidden. And these are the terms that the Scripture uses. You know, it says, blessed are those that, you know, that their sins are forgiven and they're covered. You're blessed. The Old Testament believers, when God would say, I'll take your sin and I'll cover it. I'll just cover it. Cover it over. Hide it. I don't want to look at it anymore. Hide it. Stinks. And yet, it says, Christ came and took it away. He didn't just cover it. He took it away. We have that now to look back on. We know that He has taken it away. We don't have to think about it anymore because it's not valid anymore. Before God, it's just not valid. He knows our frame. He knows that we're dust. He knows that, you know, in this flesh, it dwells. Sin dwells there. It's the nature. So He had to give us a new nature. His nature, which is holy, righteous. And now we're the sons of God. So how much will He do for us? We can anticipate these great things that God will have for us if we just simply fear not. Just don't allow the adversary to make you afraid of anything. You can either choose to walk by what you can see, smell, hear, taste, touch, or you can seek to walk by these promises of God that He's given to us. I don't know. I don't smell success coming. What? So? What does it smell like anyway? I don't know. But I do see that Christ said, a life which is more than abundant is mine. And that's what He came for. That's what He came for. And that's what we celebrate. That's what it's supposed to be, right? This day that we you know, traditionally has marked as, you know, the birth of Christ, that's the day we celebrate it. We know it didn't happen on December 25th. Almost all of Christianity knows that now. They're at least willing to admit, okay, yeah, well, maybe there was some compromise back there in those early centuries. You know, but at least we celebrate it, and we should celebrate it. It's a great event. And yet, that event in and of itself didn't accomplish anything. It just pointed towards one more thing that, yep, God's over this deal. He's going to see these things through. And He did. And so we can look at the promises of God that He's given to us. You know, that He will supply all your need according to His riches and glory. That be anxious for nothing, and everything by prayer and supplication, make your requests known to God. And the peace of God will guard your heart. It'll keep you. You know, God's got it. I gave it to Him. He's doing it. I can be peaceful. I don't have to be afraid anymore. And even more than that, we have the hope of Christ's return. If He came the first time, if He accomplished what God designed for Him to accomplish, and God raised Him up, ascended Him, seated Him, then we know He's coming back. And we have that to look forward to. You know, He's coming back. That's what He said. You know, I'm going to go prepare a place for you. Don't worry about a thing. I'm going to go prepare a place for you. And if that's what I'm going to do, then I got to come back and get you. So, quit your worrying. Okay? Don't fear a thing. Let God take care of you. That's how Jesus Christ lived His life. In the face of adversity, in the face of almost every situation that's common to man, He went through it. And yet, through everything, He was confident in His Father. We too can be the same way. We can live the same way. But it's a choice. Right? It is a choice. So I'm blessed to choose to tell fear to take a hike and just be confident in those promises of God. Because even though maybe they haven't come to pass, I can be certain that they will. They will. And we have so much greater to look forward to than those shepherds in that field that night, because it's already accomplished for us. It's already accomplished. So just rest in that, right? And that's where the joy comes from. Joy to the world. The Savior comes, and we have received Him. So we have great things in store for us. Right? Right. So, Father, thanks for Your blessings. Thank You for the way You continue to back up every promise of Your Word. And, Father, even though they may not have come to pass yet, they're as good as done. Everything that You have spoken is absolute, it's certain, and it's as good as done, because You're behind those words. And we're grateful for Your heart to us. We're grateful for Your grace that rests upon us. We're thankful, Father, for the peace that we have together with You, because we have received Your Son, Christ Jesus the Lord. Thank You for the many blessings that are in store for us, the many blessings that we have seen You bring to our lives in the past, that, Father, we can anticipate today even more blessings, tomorrow even more, as we continue to stand in this grace that You've called us to. Thank You, Father, for helping us to have greater confidence in You day by day, that we can encourage one another to trust You, and that together, Father, we can see Your great hand of blessing in whatever situation we find ourselves. Thank You for the peace. Thank You for that rest that we have in You through Your Son, Jesus Christ.